Thanks for listening to the Revelation Lecture Podcast, an audio service of the Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary Library. For more, please visit www.wls.wells.net. Lecture 5, Part D.
Now this particular story is one, or this particular symbol is one that not new. We have it in the Old Testament, in the book of Ezekiel. Will you please open your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 2. We looked up Ezekiel 1 some time ago in connection with the four living creatures. Remember, he saw those cherubim that had the faces of a lion and an ox and a man and an eagle. And now in chapter 2 of Ezekiel's book, he tells us how he was called into the ministry. Now, let's start at verse 6 of chapter 2. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them or their words. God has said he was going to send them to the children of Israel, to a rebellious people. Do not be afraid, though briars and thorns are all around you and you live among scorpions. Do not be afraid of what they say or terrified by them, though they are a rebellious house. You must speak my words to them, whether they will listen or fail to listen, for they are rebellious. But you, son of man, listen to what I say to you. Do not rebel like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. See, that's exactly what it says here. Take and eat. Then I looked and I saw a hand stretched out to me, and in it was a scroll. And that's what John saw in the hand of this angel, which he unrolled before me. On both sides of it were written words of lament and mourning and woe. And he said to me, son of man, eat what is before you. Eat this scroll. Then go and speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he gave me the scroll to eat. Then he said to me, son of man, eat this scroll I am giving you, and fill your stomach with it. So I ate it, and it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth. See how similar that is to what is described in Revelation 10? He then said to me, son of man, go now to the house of Israel and speak my words to them. You are not being sent to a people of obscure speech and difficult language, but to the house of Israel, not to many peoples of obscure speech and difficult language whose words you cannot understand. Surely if I had sent you to them, they would have listened to you. But the house of Israel is not willing to listen to you because they are not willing to listen to me. For the whole house of Israel is hardened and obstinate. But I will make you as unyielding and hardened as they are. I will make your forehead like the hardest stone, harder than flint. Do not be afraid of them or terrified by them, though they are a rebellious house. Now, on the one hand, the word of God is very sweet. It tastes sweeter than honey or the honeycomb, says Psalm 19. On the other hand, the word of God also makes our stomach bitter very often. It's sometimes very, very difficult, especially in times of persecution, to proclaim the word of God. And we sometimes don't realize that. But when you go out and preach the word of God in its truth and purity to the world, that always brings persecution of some kind. If you, for example, openly confess that you believe that the world was created in 6 days, this is going to make people look upon you as being completely outmoded and out of date. I don't know how many of you finished that followed that story of the trial out in California, which was brought by Kelly Seagraves before the state courts of California, trying to ask, or in which they asked that not only the doctrine of evolution should be taught in the schools, but also creation should be taught. Now, we may not agree wholeheartedly with everything that's done in that respect, because I'm not so sure that I'd like to have public school teachers teaching the Bible to my children. I don't think we improve the situation by asking that the Bible be taught. Now, Kelly Seagraves really wasn't asking for that either. The world was created by God. People know that without the Bible. That's something that's part of the natural knowledge of man. And from that point of view, certainly the idea that there is a God, that at least some people believe that there is a God who made all these things out of nothing, is not necessarily a biblical doctrine at all. The heathen know that much, that God created the world. And even the evolutionists, many evolutionists believe that God created the world. But our government, in many places, does not permit that doctrine to be taught, because they say that's teaching the Bible, which it isn't. I don't want them to teach the world that the world was created in 6 days. I think that's something we have no right to demand, because that's something that nobody could know by nature. And I don't think we have any right to demand that the public schools should teach the Bible. But I do think that the doctrine that says there is a God and this God made all things is a doctrine, a point of view that people can come to just by using their heads. And that much I think that we could ask that should be taught in the public schools, that at least that is a point of view that is held by many people. And now, if you, however, would apply for a job, if you were a Christian who believes in a six-day creation, and you would apply for a job in any science department in almost any university in the country, you wouldn't get the job. The word of God will turn your belly bitter. It will bring you grief. That's one way in which the word of God brings you grief. Just to give you an example of this from my personal experience, when I was at the University of Chicago, I think I may have mentioned that to you before, I was told after I'd been there for about 3 months, I mean 3 quarters rather, anybody who believes in the doctrine of verbal inspiration the way you believe in it will get a degree from this school over my dead body. I was told that by one of the professors. In class, one day, he assigned a paper on the... I was sort of pressured into taking a course on the philosophy and psychology of religion under Dean Loomer. And Dean Loomer assigned a paper with the title, What is the Problem of God to You? And there were about 30 of us in the class, all graduate students. Most of them were preachers. Some of them were graduate students who had not yet been in the ministry, but a lot of them had been in the ministry. And so this professor assigned the paper, What is the Problem of God to You? And I started out my paper by saying, as far as I'm concerned, God is no problem. I know that He is my loving Father in Jesus Christ. And then I went on to try for 7 pages trying to justify that from what I thought was a scholarly point of view. And a couple of weeks later, Loomer came to class and he said, I read your papers, and he said, none of you know what it's all about. None of you have the slightest idea what's involved. You don't know what the problem of God is. You don't know what you want. He said, there's only one fellow in this class who knows what he wants, and he's insane. He said, all Catholics and all those Protestants who accept the Bible as authority in matters of religion are insane. We let them run around loose as long as they're socially tolerable. But the day may come when we may have to shut them up, or we may even have to do this. Now that's in class. And then he ridiculed this paper. He said, this guy believes that the Bible is true, you know, and so on. And after class, I went up to him and I said, that was my paper you were discussing today. And he said, your name Becker? And I said, yes. He said, okay, that was your paper. See, he didn't know us from Adam, but he knew that the name on that paper was Becker. And so he said, you're a Lutheran. And I said, yes. He said, Missouri Synod. And I said, yes. And he said, I thought so. That's the only place in this world where you find that kind of benighted theology still. Now, of course, today they would say what? Wisconsin. The Wisconsin Synod is the only place where you find that kind of benighted theology still. So the Word of God does bring bitterness with it. Jeremiah is a good example of that. Jeremiah is often spoken of as the martyr of the prophetic office, because Jeremiah was thrown into prison. He was beaten. He was put into the stocks. He was despised by his people. They accused him of being a traitor. And the time came when Jeremiah said, O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. And so I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. Jeremiah said, I'm done. I'm not going to preach anymore. Because all that the word of God has ever brought me is grief and suffering. But then he says, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I couldn't stop. He made up his mind he was going to quit because it brought him nothing but bitterness. But he said, I couldn't shut up. And he also says, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy words were unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. In one way, there is nothing more wonderful than being able to preach the word of God. Because it is sweet as honey in the mouth. It is something that brings us a great deal of joy. On the other hand, it often makes our belly bitter too, because of the suffering that it brings with it. And there's another way of understanding that too. When you think of the Word of God as consisting of two different doctrines, see, the law and the gospel, the part of the Word of God that's sweet in our mouth, of course, is the gospel. But the law sure gives you a bellyache, right? The law makes you feel pretty miserable. In fact, it makes you feel worse than a bad stomach makes you feel. So that the Word of God both brings joy to those who preach it, and it brings sorrow to those who preach it. And in several different ways. First of all, as law, it brings sorrow to the heart because we recognize ourselves as people who deserve to go to hell, who are under the wrath and of God and deserve his punishment. But then the gospel comes along and assures us that our sins are forgiven. And the more you realize that you deserve to go to hell, the more glorious is the message that your sins are forgiven. On the other hand, it also brings us sufferings in this world, because loyalty to the Word of God also brings sacrifice with it.